on the KSRO live line with us is Kasley Killam. She is with the Harvard School of Public Health. Kasley, good to have you.
Thanks so much for having me, Pat.
I think that almost no one would disagree that social distancing is imperative for us as human beings right now, but it leads to a lot of other things that are pretty tough for us to deal with, too.
That's exactly right. In fact, I'm hearing more and more people call it physical distancing instead of social distancing to really emphasize the fact that while we need to stay physically apart, it's absolutely essential to stay socially connected during this time.
Yes, we agree with that. Although just from a semantics point of view, it doesn't really make a lot of difference to us what you call
That's
it.
True.
It still is difficult for us as human beings. We're just not built this way.
Absolutely. It turns out that decades of research in psychology and epidemiology have shown us that relationships are a key part of our health. And one of the ways that they do that is through buffering against stress and also protecting us against illness. So it's really important that we stay connected at all times, but especially during a really stressful period like this. And even before the coronavirus pandemic spread, there was a loneliness epidemic going on in the United States. Nearly 60% of American adults report feeling lonely on a regular basis, which is a whole host of negative health consequences. So now more than ever, it's really important that we address that and stay connected in meaningful ways.
Yeah, and talk about some of those meaningful ways, because, you know, those ways differ from person to person. But what are the ways that we can all agree is a good idea to reach out in this way?
Absolutely. So I'll share a few tips with you. The first is to really connect face to face from afar. So while we're all using technology, using Zoom, using phone calls, using text, it's really important to use video whenever possible, because there's something crucial about seeing each other's faces, seeing body language, seeing those other nonverbal forms of communication. That's such an important part of bonding. So whenever possible, use video, see each other, hang out with each other in a virtual way.
Yeah, even here on the radio, we know that there is a big difference between getting a text from someone and actually being able to hear someone. And you hear the inflection in their voice, what words they, you know, accent, things like that, that give you a better idea than just a written exchanges between two people. A better idea about how somebody is really feeling.
That's exactly right. Absolutely. There are so many cues that you pick up on from people's faces, and it just feels better.
And one of the things that you point out in your article, it's in Global Health Market, Protect Yourself and Your Family from Deadly Airborne Viruses. One of the things that you talk about is looking on social media and actually responding to people as opposed to just looking.
Yeah, so I recently wrote an article in Scientific American called How to Prevent Loneliness in a Time of Social Distancing, and you're exactly right. So one of the tips I recommend is practicing one-minute kindness. So this is the idea that it's so easy to scroll endlessly through our social media feeds and feel sort of connected, but mostly feel kind of distant from one another. So taking that moment to pause, reach out to one of the people you're seeing in your social media and send them a compliment. Send them a note of gratitude or something that you appreciate about them to actually reach out in a much more meaningful way.
How connected are we to the number of likes at this moment?
That's a great question. You know, one of the things that I'm hoping will come out of this experience is that we develop healthier habits around our digital use. So I'm really hoping that people will recognize, given how much we suddenly need to connect in a better way, that, you know, scrolling, depending on likes for feeling connected to people, just isn't actually going to sustain us. We need to connect in much deeper ways. And so I'm hoping that that will become less important as we go through this experience.
And Kasley, we know, as you pointed out, that already pre-coronavirus, we were concerned about our lack of connection with other people thanks to technology. A lot of us are concerned at this stage of the game that we'll get so used to doing this that we won't go back to regular human behavior when it's over.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm actually expecting that when we come out of this and we're able to be together in person again, there's going to be a huge surge in people spending one-on-one time together, spending time in groups. I think people are going to rush back to in-person events as much as possible and really value spending quality time together in person in a new way. At the same time, my hope is that some of the habits that we're developing around FaceTiming friends and family in faraway places, being able to work from home and remotely on a more frequent basis, things like that, that hopefully those will still remain woven into our lives in a healthier way. So I really expect there to be a good complement of using digital tools to connect when it's useful to us, but also appreciating the in-person time that we're able to spend together with renewed commitment.
Two excellent goals coming out of this, and the article is in Scientific American, How to Prevent Loneliness in a Time of Social Distancing, and let's hope you're right about both, because the planet could use the break, as we have seen, and we can use the getting back together part when we're done. Kasley, glad to have you here. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Pat. Have a great day.
That's Kasley Killam with the Harvard School of Public Health.